Scripture reading for today comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Thus ends the reading.
Good morning. Bring you greetings from the other 150 so churches in the Michigan Conference United Church of Christ. It's a great pleasure to be with you here today. Thank you, Pastor Carroll, for your ministry and mission here as well. So what's written on your heart? God gave us the law, those Ten Commandments, which we've broken down into all sorts of rules and ordinances and figured out how to pick it apart so that we know what's okay to do and what's not okay to do. And then we do what's not okay to do anyway. Right? Wow. Jeremiah imagines that there will be a day when we won't need those rules, those laws, because it will all be written on our hearts. The law, thou shalt not kill, has come to mind recently because of Trayvon Martin and the senseless killing in Florida. An African-American young man wearing a hoodie, going to the store for a drink and some candy. He shouldn't have to worry about being shot on his way home. One of my colleagues, Samira Sharif, African-American, says, my son wears a hoodie. Do I need to be afraid for his life? Of course, she's been afraid for his life as long as he's been alive. So much for us yet to learn. And yet God has provided experiences for us that start to write on our hearts the compassion and love that God intends for us, right? So what's written on your heart? What do you know to be absolutely true? Because you've experienced it. Not because someone else told you about it, or you read it in the scriptures, or you heard about it somewhere, but because you know that it happened to you. I know that the presence of God brings peace in the midst of trial. I know that. Because when my youngest brother Steve was sick in the hospital and we thought he might die, and I lay in bed as a teenager and said, God, I don't know what's going to happen. Help me to be okay, no matter what happens. And I felt that sense of peace. I knew God was present. No doubt. That experience I will never forget. I know that to be true in my heart. I also know that we have a choice. We always have choice. We might not like the choices, but we always have choice. And I know this to be absolutely true because when I was, it started when I was managing a fitness center many pounds ago. and many careers ago. And I bent over to pick up the vacuum cleaner cord, you know, no heavy weights here, and my back went out. And I experienced terrible back pain for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Back pain that would come and then would just go for no reason that I could figure out. The doctors couldn't find anything really wrong. In the midst of that, I went to seminary, and so I stood at the back of the classroom in a lot of my seminary classes because I couldn't bear sitting during class. In the midst of that time, I was working with a spiritual director, and it came to me, I'm slow, like I said, 4 or 5 years, it came to me that when I was feeling stuck, my back would hurt. Just a particular place, I can point to it, it's right back here. That one point. If I was feeling stuck, it would get me, right? Well, as soon as I could say, I'm not stuck, I have choices. I might not like the choices, but I'm not stuck here. That pain would go away like that. I mean, instantly go away. My body taught me that I always have a choice. That's been a helpful thing for me to know. I also absolutely know that God uses us to mend broken hearts. Robin was 8 years old when her mom died of cancer. I was newly ordained. Not a clue. I don't know how to deal with this. Not a clue. But I'd have her come into my office and she'd draw pictures, or we'd go out and get a pop, or we'd do something. We'd just spend time together, and I'd sit at my desk and work while she was coloring. And one day she's coloring on the floor. I may have told you the story last time I was here. I don't know. She's coloring on the floor, and I saw a heart, sort of, and she came over to my desk and said, "Do you have a scissors?" I said, "Well, yeah." At that point, I thought giving her scissors was probably okay. And she cut this heart that said, "I love you," in the middle of it, all up to pieces. And she just spent some time looking at it. And then she brought the pieces back over to my desk and said, "Do you have some tape?" And she said, "Will you help me?" And we put it back together again. And I swear to you, when we were finished with that, she said, "You helped me mend my broken heart." This 8-year-old. I didn't do that. God did. God uses us to mend broken hearts. If we're just present with people when they need it, I know that's true. I also know, absolutely without a doubt, that when we are affirmed and accepted for who we are, no exceptions, that our lives are transformed. We become alive. I spent many years with my spiritual director, who a number of years now died of cancer. But in the midst of that time with her, I shared all of the dirt of my life that I'm not going to share with you. All the dirt of my life. And she accepted me anyway. She affirmed me for who I am anyway. And that made all the difference in my life. All the difference. Has allowed me to be open and affirming of who I am completely. Well, for the most part, we all have our areas. Our lives can be transformed when just one person accepts us and loves us for who we are. I also know in my heart that focusing on one thing takes the fear away. What does that mean? My life gets kind of crazy. I don't know about yours, but I'm going 100 different directions all the time. And when I remember to stay focused on the one thing, the one reason for being, the one person in front of me. I'm not afraid anymore of not getting the things done that need to get done, of doing the wrong thing. My call to ministry was one of those things that helped to teach me that. I knew I was supposed to be called to ministry. I mean, I knew God was calling me, knew it absolutely be true. And I knew it in the time of when I was Presbyterian church that was a don't ask, don't tell Presbyterian church. And I knew as a lesbian, there's no way I would get ordained in the Presbyterian church. But every step of the way, someone asked if I was lesbian, and I said, you're not supposed to ask. And they said, we're asking anyway, but we think you should go ahead because we think you're a good candidate for ordination. That's not supposed to happen. God taught me that this was what God wanted me to do. I kept focusing on that, going ahead one step at a time. Made all the difference. I absolutely know that there is life after death. How would you know that? We've been told that. How many of you have experienced someone after they've died? Some of you have. Roberta, we called her Bert, sang alto in the choir. And I would come home from college, Easter break, Christmas break, summer vacation, whatever, and I'd sing in the choir with my parents who sang, and I like to sit right next to Bert because I've got an alto voice but a soprano ear. So if I sat next to her, I could hear the alto and sing it. Great fun. Bert was a wonderful, wonderful person, faithful person. She and her husband had two sons, high school age. Over an Easter vacation, she and her husband and one of their sons and that son's girlfriend flew out to Colorado for a ski trip. The one son stayed home because of some other thing he needed to do. Her husband flew the plane and it crashed. She and her husband, her son, and the son's girlfriend all died in that crash, leaving one high school boy left alone, who happened to be a friend of my brother. A couple of days after the crash, I saw Bert's face right in front of me. It was her. She said, let my son know I'm okay. I know it was true. I say it now and it sounds crazy. How could that really be true? Was I dreaming it? Maybe. Didn't feel like it to me. What do you know to be absolutely true because you've experienced it? In your heart, you know it's true. What do you know to be true that's been tested by fire? There are some lessons we don't learn easily, so we keep bumping up against them over and over again, right? I have this great habit of fighting against my circumstances, which is one of the reasons my back went out for being stuck. You know, it's like, don't keep doing that over and over again, right? And I was living in the Washington, D.C. area, and I remember driving through the traffic, well, sort of driving, you know, kind of inching my way through the traffic to get to work every day. And I used to get so angry that this traffic was in my way. And I would just, my blood pressure would go up. I'd be fretting and frowning and pounding on the wheel. Hurry up, why is this taking so long? And until I finally said to myself, well, this is really silly. The traffic isn't going to go faster just because my blood pressure is going up and I'm angry and upset about it. Why don't you just kind of accept this thing that you can't change and let it be okay? Just enjoy the ride, right? Okay. I learned that, and actually in that circumstance, things got a lot better. I think my blood pressure went down and you know, things were all right. I have found recently myself butting against it again, and that the circumstances now are having a family with three children, ages 2, 3, and 4. They just had birthdays this month, all three of them. And there are times that I'm like, I can't get everything done. This is too hard. How am I supposed to do my work? How am I supposed to keep the house clean? How am I supposed to take care of them? Some of you have been there. You know what this is like, right? And it occurred to me that just like my driving through the traffic, I don't actually want to change the circumstances of my life. I could maybe just accept them and say, okay, I'm sleep deprived. Of course, I'm crabby. Yes, the house is not as clean as I would like it. Oh, well. What else? I mean, I see smiles. I know you know. It's okay. What a gift to have these children. Wow. What do you know absolutely in your heart? What has God written there? What has your life journey taught you that someone else needs to know? And one of the things that we've not done well in our churches is shared our stories. We sit next to people in the pews often, and we never even know what that person's been through, what their life has been all about, what courage and strength they have shown and expressed through their life. There are people outside these windows that don't know that they have choices, that they don't have to be stuck, that don't know that the presence of God can bring peace to their life. People who don't know that God can use us to mend broken hearts. Who are those people? Have you shared your story with them recently? The thing that God has written in your heart that you absolutely know to be true. The gospel reading for today, we didn't read John 12. I want to read a piece of it. Now those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the human one to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, God will honor." What needs to die? Do we absolutely know in our heart of hearts that what we are grasping onto that's holding something back must die and will become new life in some other way? If this church died, I'm not saying you are, if this church died, what would be resurrected? What difference would it make? Lent is a tricky time. It asks us to face what needs to die in order to be transformed. I don't think there's a church around that doesn't need something to die in it, something. Something that's holding you back, keeping you stuck, keeping other people from knowing that they would be accepted and affirmed for who they are if they walk through the doors. The challenge is to follow Jesus and not be afraid, to move forward, to know in our heart of hearts, our absolute heart of hearts, that if what I'm holding on to most tightly has to be let go, that there will be life afterward, abundant life. Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled," and I think I've just troubled yours. "And what should I say?" says Jesus. "Abba, save me from this hour?" No, it's for this reason that I have come to this hour. I don't think it's an accident that each one of you is here right now for this time, for this challenge in the life of the church, in the life of faith, in what will be carried on in terms of a Christian message to the people outside the windows and in your own hearts. Jesus said, "Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." All people to myself, even in crucifixion and death. May it be so. Amen.